And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. First, you, Ken, I guess before we move on, if you could give us your views on just what you think this magnificent power in the universe might be. Some call it God, others call it energy. What does Ken Parsons call it?
I think in a language that is as clear as I can make it, that anyone could understand, that it is almost, to me, self-evident that we are the intelligent design of an infinitely intelligent creator. And I think most of us can start at that ground zero. And at that point, we just have to move from there and look at our history and look at ancient civilizations. And we have to wonder, is it true that all of them have some form of Yahweh in their early languages that just over the years has moved on? We have to consider things like, for instance, the possible pyramids on Mars, the way that most of the pyramids on the planet here have certain things that are in common. There's questions. We find bones and things like this, and we look at them and we say, man, that doesn't look like anything we've ever had on our planet. And then we put together this evolution thing and good-meaning people that are just really trying to find answers. That's what this is all about. We're all in this together. We are all on the same boat, and we all really want to know where we came from, where are we going. And it just, like I said, the one thread that I can see that ties it all together just seems to be found in the covenantal texts.
All right, how about you, John Anderson? What is this power, this special power in the universe?
To me, it becomes self-evident when you look at anything today. If you see a watch, you see a car, you see a plane, that denotes it has a design. Therefore, there is a designer. That's when you look at creation itself, you realize that this is not some kind of a cosmic joke or an accident. It is actually created by design. It operates specifically on time. The planets revolve around the sun exactly on time. That's why, as a matter of fact, we'd be happy to offer a free book tonight to your entire audience that wants it, called Can God Tell Time? And that's the critical issue about all of this. The issue is time. So if we have a creator that has created all of this, he is far, far superior to us if we are thus his creation. Therefore, we should look at it from that perspective. Even in schools today, I'm sure you're aware that intelligent design is being allowed to be taught as opposed to the evolutionary paradigm. So this is our thrust, is that there is a creator and that we can be in touch with that creator if we so choose.
If there's a creator, John Anderson, where might it be? I'll call it an it, could be he, but where might it be? I mean, it's, you know, when I was growing up in school, going to catechism classes, as I was brought up as a Catholic, my perception and what they tried to teach us was as there was like a human being up there in the clouds somewhere, or at least that's what they tried to teach our feeble little minds at the time. I can't believe that today. So how do we interpret what it could be?
Well, the three basic omnis of God: number one, all-knowing; number two, all-powerful; and number three, omnipresent. God is spirit, not a man sitting up somewhere on a throne with a long gray beard. As you know, I grew up as a child trying to understand this myself, so I can appreciate where you're coming from. But God is spirit. But he's all-powerful and he's all-knowing. That, by definition, would be God, from my own perspective.
Ken Parsons?
It says that we were made in God's image. I believe it's almost necessary to imagine that he has he's not a person as we look at each other, but he is a persona, and probably he's extra dimensional. He has there's amazing strides that we're making in physics, whether in emerging physics specifically, where we're learning some really incredible things. We're even seeing in science the human genome, the show that we had on the other night. And matter of fact, was it William Tiller?
Mm-hmm.
And he made the comment, and I thought, I'm in agreement with that. One day, God will have an equation. He is a persona, and the king. He's the Lord of all things, Lord of all the planets and the universe. And he also is in possession of ultimate power. He is all places. And there is also an energy that is the result of that, that that really it's there, and we see people accessing that a lot of times, whether they're a Christian or not. But the reality is, it's the this type of thing, like the messianic power, the Most High from the Creator Himself. That power is really stronger. We see resurrections. We've seen we've got documentation of over 50 resurrections just in the last 10 years. We had the pastor that was down in Africa that was in the car wreck. He was embalmed. He was in the coffin and actually came back to life, started coughing. They started having to massage what was a corpse but was now come back to life, I mean, after days. So we're seeing some really miraculous things. And again, we also see people they're able to still use this energy. They somehow tap into this power, whether it's their belief, they're learning to speak the right things. We all create our own environment by the words that we speak. We can believe it or not believe it, but the end result's still going to be the same. If we're under the circumstances, things are so bad under the circumstances. The question is, what are you doing under the circumstances? You should be over the circumstances. We have that power. We were created for great things. We have talents. We have a purpose. We have a mission. And that this is all things that are accessible through this mighty powerful being that has a never-ending ocean of love for each one of us.
There are some who believe in very prophetic circumstances, that people have the ability to look at what very well could be. Do you believe that they can do that? There are some people who can do that. You first, Ken.
Yes. Yeah, I believe we've seen evidence of it. Sure. Matter of fact, there was the story that the young boy that had drawn the picture of the Twin Towers that were burning and had made a comment that World War III starts tomorrow. He followed it up with America's going to lose. But they pulled him in for questioning because the next day when the towers got hit, I mean, the teacher was like, you know, how? They thought he had some type of inside information. It was almost like one of the prophets under the old covenant, you know, where the enemy decided they were going to launch an offensive and go kidnap this prophet because he kept telling everybody what the enemy was going to do next.
Do you, John Anderson, believe that there are people out there who can prophesize?
From the standpoint of Old Testament prophets, absolutely not. I worked as a professional psychic for several years before I became a Christian, January 7 and 9, George. And I learned people make a lot of claims, but the problem is they're unsubstantiated. And when you want to put them to the test, they always fall, as James Randi has done many times on the Million Dollar Challenge, and not one psychic has been able to pass it. A very good friend of mine, Andre Cole, one of the top three inventors of magic in the world who helped invent the illusion where David Copperfield flew. You see, there's a vast difference between illusion and reality. There's a vast difference between a scientific guess, if you will, and an actually, quote, prophetic step-by-step, this will happen in this, quote, period of time specifically. That's where Ken and I would probably differ from that simple perspective.
Well, at the same time, too, illusion and reality may be very similar, too.
From one respect, you see, in other words, is the David Copperfield literally flying, or is he flying, without any help, or is there help that we simply don't understand, i.e. through the world of magic? I used to do many things when I was involved in the occult, walk on hot coals, walk on broken bottles, etc., and so on. But there was no supernatural power involved. It was simply knowing how to do it. That was the difference.
I sometimes wonder if everything is an illusion. This entire life we lead is an illusion. I don't know.
Well, we agree, I think, more than it would appear from these last statements. I want to go on record, too. I mean, even in the Old Covenant, we saw, you know, magicians and doing tricks, and we see Copperfield, and we see, was it David Bain? Am I saying it right?
David Blaine.
Blaine. And, you know, you look, you say, that's remarkable, but it's probably tricks. But then we have people like Father Malachi. How do you do that? How do you predict all of the popes in succession? How do you, Pope John Paul II, the eclipse of the sun? He was born on an eclipse. I could understand them getting together in this papal conclave and wanting to make this come true, and they said, well, he was born under the eclipse. But, I mean, how do you get them to have another eclipse on the Davis funeral? Father Malachi, he also predicted, you know, the day of his own death. We see a lot of modern prophets. We have to wonder where this power comes from. We also saw one case where a king of Israel went to a witch and conjured up a familiar spirit, meaning it was one of the negative side or the demonic side, pretending to be the person that had been there, so referred to it as a familiar spirit. But that was wrong. I mean, that was it was an abomination for him to actually go into enemy territory.
Okay.
In other words, kind of like the young kid who went from America and went over to Afghanistan and fought with, you know, with the Muslims.
All right, you both have different views of the rapture, and you know, John, I tend to think a little bit more on your side about the fact that we aren't going to have these massive picking of people and they're just gone, at least not that way. You know, I would tend to think if something happens, it could be maybe even more supernatural than that. Be that as it may, do you both believe that there's an Antichrist involved in any of this? You first, John Anderson.
Absolutely not, as for a single individual. Now, as in John's days, there's many Antichrists already here. In other words, that which confesses not that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is Antichrist, based on John's definition. No. As a matter of fact, the belief in an Antichrist, if you will, by the dispensational world, that he's going to receive a mortal head wound and rise from the dead, is an abomination, because it's taking the power of God, if you will, and attributing it over here to the so-called devil. Now, if I could comment on what he said about Samuel, if anyone that wants to go and read the passage can, I won't bother, but it says five times it was the spirit of Samuel. God brought Samuel up to rebuke Saul, said, tomorrow you and your sons are going to die, and that's exactly what happened. So if we're going to deal with the Bible, let's deal with it accurately, at least, because it was Samuel that God brought up to rebuke Saul, plain and simple. Now, the fact of this dispensational escobabble of the Left Behind series that's being taught is very dangerous to our society, it's dangerous to our foreign policy, and that's been proven time and time again. People believe, George, that it has to get worse and worse and worse, and that they're actually flying Jewish people, for Pete's sake, out of Poland, 300 at a time, over to Israel. Many programs are doing that, but what they don't do is get up in front of the plane and say, by the way, of the 300 of you, based on our own theological understanding, two out of three of you are going to die in this horrible, horrible death in the Battle of Armageddon. And by the way, the other third of you are going to become Christians. Now, you ready to go? You see, this is ludicrous that it's being fostered on people because they really don't know what they believe. And I've proven that on my own talk show time and time again. It cannot be refuted what I'm saying scripturally. Now, here's the point. Let's look at the foreign policy because of this Left Behind escobabble that is going on. We, instead of having a fair and equitable Middle East policy, many of our, quote, officials and lawmakers believe in this dispensational escobabble. Therefore, our entire foreign policy goes to a one-sided scenario. As I had Raph Nader on my program, he says, look, hey, why can't we be equitable? I say the same thing, George. Let's be fair about it. What we give one, let's give to the other.
How about you, Ken Parsons, the Antichrist Report?
First of all, I don't see for a moment that there are politicians. I think that if there's one thing I've learned outside of anything, it's just daily, everyday life. There's a difference between what most politicians say and then what they actually do. You know, we practically beg for them to go out and lie to us about, you know, their relationship with the Lord. I'm not a fan of organized religion. I never have been. Having people, you know, tell you, you know, how and what to believe and correct you on every point. I always have believed in a personal relationship with that Creator and yourself, and that's, again, something I encourage everybody to do, and go in and learn and really do some deep study. Sometimes you get past the surface level and find some of these things out. But, I mean, I would say there's a better chance that the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs have more to do with what's happening around the world and some of the things that have been created and the challenges that we've had.
You may be right there.
And the pipeline in Afghanistan, you know, having troops that had already been amassed up north, you know, before this even happened. I think there's enough questions, but I don't think that it's Christians wanting there to be an Armageddon. I think that's I just can't follow that. What I do think that it's a lot of these world organizations, you know, that have a plan, and it ultimately, at the end of the day, they will have one single individual who will be up there calling the shots for everybody. We will have chips.
You do believe then in a one world government, maybe
sure.
Tied into some of this stuff.
Yeah, I think there's just way too much evidence. Like I said, I mean, just put the Bible in a drawer for a second. That's reality. Now, the fact that the Bible actually walks in lockstep with what is happening is just, again, goes with what I said about finding a common thread through all of these things.
How about
Richard Hoagland, you know, the stuff that he sees with Mars. And I think that it's...
For a moment, I thought you were going to say Richard was the Antichrist for crying out.
No.
Richard's listening, too.
Or David Icke. I don't think he is either.
All right. What about the Antichrist? What is your belief there? Ken Parson. No, that's you, because John already answered that.
My perception is that he will come from what we see as the revived Roman Empire. The Roman Empire actually was never taken over from outside. They were corrupted from within and just rotted. I mean, they got to the point that they didn't even, you know, they were hiring mercenaries to fight their wars. I mean, it was just incredible, and they just deteriorated. But we're seeing the reemergence of that now with the European Union. We see that there is a core group, the Western European Union, which is the core 10 nations, that pretty much everybody else is an honorary member for that. We're seeing enlargement or the devouring of the world. We're seeing more countries that want to get into that. We see the one currency. I mean, remember the headline the day that it happened. For the first time since Bible days, Europe has all one currency. So it's just, you know, we keep seeing this thing, especially right down to the chip. You know, putting it, people all over the place are getting chips put in themselves under the premise that, oh, it's going to make me safer. You know, if everybody had chips the day the towers came down, we could have just used the global positioning satellite system and tracked them all down and pulled them out. We could have saved so many lives. And, of course, that would be the end of privacy as we know it. They would know where we were, what we were doing all of the time.
All right, then what do you both feel about the number 666? John Anderson, do you actually believe this is the sign of the beast?
Yes, that was Nero in the first century, absolutely. You see, once again, if we go to the Bible for the answers, instead of trying to interpret the Bible through newspaper headlines, we can find these answers. They're very simple. Now, I'd like to comment on something that Ken said, if I could, sir.
We have a minute before the break. Go ahead.
The rapture nonsense, if anything like a one-world government is going to come into existence, is because of Wi-Fi, I'm on the next flight. Excuse me, that is the major problem today, and yes, it is guiding our foreign policy. That is a fact.
Ken Parsons, we're going to take the gloves off when we come back. You two ready for that? Hey, by the way, any of you aware of a Margaret McDonald's revelation back in the 1840s?
Absolutely.
Okay, sure. Let's talk about that, too, because that's kind of strange. Some say it was not true. Others believe that it is, as she talked a little bit about the rapture herself.
I wasn't there.
No, but you weren't there when the Bible was written either.
No. Good point.
You got it. All right, we'll be back in a moment. Now, both their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And, of course, the definition, what is the rapture? Some say it's the second coming of Christ that will occur in stages. First, he will remove all Christians from the earth to protect them. But we do have a number on that, too. If that's the case, what about everybody else? Why are they left behind? I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. In the next hour, phone calls from you. And they're still working on their July issue now. But you can subscribe. You get 14 issues for the price of 12. But you'll also get that June issue and find out what everybody's talking about. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. You click through the secure server to order After Dark. 14 issues right now for the price of 12. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Now, next hour, when we open up the phone lines, please let us know when you call in who you would like to address your question to, John Anderson or Ken Parsons, or both, if we have time. But so many of you will be calling in, as half of my lines are already lit. It might be better just to address it to one person to get a response if we can. John Anderson, the people who claim that we're approaching Armageddon, that it's beginning, these doomsdayers, what would you say to them? Not in terms of context or interpretation, but basically the fear that they're giving all of this. I guess it is fear, right?
Well, sure it is, George. This is why the Voice of Reason is growing by leaps and bounds on stations across the nation, because our message is one of a positive world view, not the doom and gloom, why fight, I'm on the next flight. You see, this has caused tremendous detriment in our society, and regardless of what Ken says, this is causing us to have serious foreign problems as well as on our own shores. Now, if we systematically look at what's going on and realize that God did keep his word, that he fulfilled the prophecy just exactly when and exactly how he said he was going to do it, then we go on with our lives in a very positive world view. But you see, most people don't study. They parrot or regurgitate what someone else has told them because it's feel good. You see, our message is one of, hey, you're responsible. Get out there, get off your blessed assurance, quit being a secret agent, and start being an ambassador for Christ. And in doing so, you will make a positive change in the world. That's why I hear from thousands of people across this nation, this is John, your program has changed my life. Why? Because we're not living in the doom and gloom and despair. That's why we go through systematically in our DVD, The Rapture, Biblical Factor, Left Behind Fiction. We go through the historical aspects. We go through every scripture in the entire Bible showing it's not even taught. It is a fabrication of people that want to bring, you talk about control, George, what better way to control people than to say, look, just relax, calm down, you're going to be out of here any minute, don't worry about foreign policy, don't worry about our economic status, don't worry about making a difference in a positive way in our schools and in our government, just calm down, you're going to get raptured out of here. This is disgusting to me. As I said, I prove it in the DVD that we produced. People can get it if they want. We'll even give them a free book. I've got a toll-free number. I'll give them a free book. Can God tell time? Let's deal with the heart of the issue. Do we believe it or do we not? And if I could give the number, I'd be happy to. All I got to do is call. We'll mail it to them. They can have it free of charge.
Go ahead. Give it now and then give it next hour, too.
Okay. The toll-free number is very simple. 866-860-2086. That's 866-860-2086. Ask for Can God Tell Time? The Rapture DVD is there. The Last Days DVD is there. And you see, here's the point. We prove it. There is no theologian on the planet that has been able to, in 4 years, George, refute what we're saying. That should tell people something. This is why our program is growing unbelievably, because they're realizing you can only cry wolf so many times, and that when they actually go to the Bible to check it out for themselves, it says just exactly the opposite of what these people are saying. George, the message of a positive worldview is growing.
But you're not saying, John, that we one day may not get smashed by an asteroid, or that one day some moronic leader of a country won't push a nuclear button. You're not saying that.
No, I'm not saying that at all, George. As a matter of fact, it's not going to happen unless God allows it, number one. Because if he is all-powerful, he's in control of all things.
Well, wait a minute now. How come the tsunami occurred?
Once again, if it's allowed. Now, in this world, there are natural laws that are set up. God can intervene. That's what a miracle is by definition, that God himself intervenes into the natural laws. Things happen in this world. It's not everything is, quote, preordained of the mosquito flying across the room nonsense that a lot of people talk about. But you see, man was given dominion over this earth. What have we done with it? Shouldn't we try, like you're talking about, make sure the children are fed around the world? Let's make sure that people have a warm place to sleep at night. Let's make a positive difference in our world instead of saying, well, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse till the Lord returns. Nonsense.
What do you think, Ken Parsons, about some of these doomsdayers who say it's all over?
Well, first of all, I don't run with any doomsday sayers. I don't think that I've ever said anything that was doom and gloom. I think if anything's doom and gloom, it's saying that God's finished. He's not coming back. you get hit by an asteroid, y'all are on your own. I perceive that things are getting worse and worse. God has given us power and authority, the power of prayer. Miracles do happen. We can protect the areas that we live in if we pray. There are evil things in the world. But I also would like to ask a couple questions. I mean, we get he's going on. I mean, I respect you, John, but you're...
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Hold on, Ken. With the next 15 minutes that I have left, I'll intercede whenever I think I have to, but I'm going to open up the lines for you and John. Go ahead. Have at it.
Okay, let me make a simple point, as I said earlier.
Well, now, you've been talking for a little while.
Okay, can I make a simple point?
Just one or two things, quickly.
Okay, very, very simply. Number one, God can tell time.
Yes, he can.
Jesus Christ
on a lot of different timelines, too.
The time is fulfilled. Nothing was postponed. Nothing was put on hold. It was fulfilled exactly when and as Jesus said it was.
He did say heaven and earth would pass away, but my words would not pass away. That there would be a new heaven and there would be a new earth.
Based on the fact that Jesus failed to do what he came to do. That's
no, he didn't fail to do anything.
He succeeded.
He succeeded. He's taken us into the new covenant. He's created a way of grace for us. Our sins are forgiven. We can go straight to the Father. We don't need any mediator between God and the individual. We can go straight to him. We can seek truth. The Holy Spirit came to teach us all things. We don't have to be masters at Greek and Hebrew and everything else. We can investigate. We can pull apart the skin and get down into the muscle and dig a little bit deeper. But we also have references to the rapture, that he'll come, the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, speaking of the Feast of Trumpets. A Jew wrote that. A Jew reading that would understand that. From the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and they'll be raised imperishable. That we'll all be changed. That we're going to get a
Jesus
glorified body. But here's the thing. It's not doom and gloom. It's good news.
There's
a rapture
generation.
Is not something to be afraid of.
He
someone that's afraid of the
fulfilled.
Lord coming back, I would have some questions, but I don't see that as something to be afraid of. I think it's a good thing.
He said it would be fulfilled in that generation. Did he lie or tell the truth?
The generation that sees these things.
And they
would
saw
be
every sign.
And it
he
even
was speaking
it,
to his
well, hold on, guys. Hold on. I expected to come back, but not this soon. Now, don't step over each other, okay?
Sorry.
All right. Go ahead, Ken.
Again, you know, I'm looking at the Zondervan NIV. It has a deal in the notes that could even be put into as a race. But I think that I think that it's important to see into the Bible and not read into the Bible. And none of my teachings have I ever said, here, you know, take what I say and go. I can make a mistake. I can make error. John, I believe that you're capable of it too at sometimes. But I believe that the people should be able to study themselves. You know, go to the Word, look at it exactly like you said, and not be concerned that they're inadequate, that they don't have the ability to be able to look at the Scriptures and tell them that when it says we're going to be caught up in the air into the clouds to be with Him, that that's somehow not really, you know, possible and not going to happen. The 666. I mean, we're seeing now that could quite possibly have been 616. Now, as we move closer into that age, more things will be revealed. No Jews really saw a physical Messiah showing up in the way that Messiah did show up, even though now we can look back and we see all of these prophecies that were fulfilled. But we also have John writing Revelation around 96 A.D., and he said he's going to talk about the things that will come, but you've got the temple that was destroyed in 70 A.D.
Well, first of all, if I could respond to a couple of points that you made, Ken. Number one, only modern-day scholars make the false assumption that Revelation was written in the mid-90s. All scholarship in the 19th century and beyond knew and understood from the internal and external evidence that it was written.
All these people have the internet.
Now, I was willing to let you talk. Please allow me.
You got it.
Now, here is the point. John A.T. Robinson, redating the book of the entire Bible, the New Testament, excuse me, every book was written before the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. I can go on list after list, but that's not the point. Here is the simple point. Now, when we start talking about the idea that we shouldn't study, that it's all okay, here's the bottom line. It's not all okay, because if we're going to call ourselves Christians, and we don't have to be experts in Hebrew and Greek, but we have a strong, exhaustive concordance, we can look up every word and see what they say. You see, the Scofield Bible, literally, either the worst scholarship in the world, or it's out-and-out fraud, used the word Jenna and genos and gave the opposite definition because it never means race. It means the current generation, as you said in Matthew 23. This generation, all of these things shall come upon this generation. Matthew 24, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Why is it so hard for people to not accept the fact that soon, near, and at hand means that today, but when it was written in the first century, it didn't mean that based on people's ideas today?
Ken, are you pondering that?
No. My question is simply that, I mean, as many years as I've done this, I've just recently, maybe over the last year, started hearing a little bit about the preterist, and I think, again, I reinforce, I believe people should study to show themselves approved. I believe that. I encourage it. And I think that that's the only way to a truly successful, powerful life, is to have an understanding of Scripture. It's profitable for all kinds of things. You know, we don't need to be single-issue theologians. I mean, we should be able to at least go across the board and look at some other things, too. And 2 Timothy says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value.
Well, you both
it only ruins those who listen.
You both believe in a supreme creator, so there's that's something for both of you. But what
he's my brother. We're in the back seat fighting on the way to somewhere.
What you don't believe in is how this is going to end up. And, you know, you can think it's going to end up with fire and brimstone and all that.
No, I believe it's going to end in a new earth, in a perfect state, in a wonderful condition. I look forward. This earth will be here forever. It'll be in a new state, unimpeded by the curse that was brought on it through Adam's treason at the beginning. Our spirits are glorified, but our bodies
well,
not.
Now the earth may be here, but what about us as people?
Sure.
You think
yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Still be around?
Again, and perhaps in a glorified state, we'll have a glorified body at that time. Mine's not glorified. Just look at the picture. Our spirits are glorified. Our bodies aren't yet, but they will be. And Messiah is coming. And a lot of times, matter of fact, if we look in one quick question I have about the temple, it's just something that's occurring to me. Hymenaeus. Now, first of all, 2 Timothy 2 was written before the destruction of the temple, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's my understanding, too. And then so my question is, how did Hymenaeus, he came in, he said, the day of the Lord has already come, you know, it's already gone, don't worry about anything. You know, almost like the people that said it's okay to go back, you know, go back to work in the second tower, everything's just fine, it's over with, the first tower was all there was. But my question is, why, how did that happen if it was so self-evident that the moment the temple was destroyed, that was it, it was over. There's no new covenant, it's just finished, and now, you know, we're just going to wander on, and if the world, you know, gets burned by the sun, I mean, we got the global warming thing, and then we go ahead and we look in Revelation, we see that the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. I mean, we see consistently things of this nature. But why didn't he just say, well, the temple is still there, so obviously Messiah hasn't come? I mean, how could they have been deceived if that was so self-evident?
Okay, very simple. Number one, let's talk about what is called the Hymenaean heresy. Obviously.
And I don't think you're a heretic by any stretch of the
well,
imagination.
Thank you, but I'm
sure
saying
you know
it's that. Called the Hymenaean heresy.
Correct.
But here's the simple point, okay? Number one, what Paul simply corrected was because they had said that the resurrection had already passed. And Paul simply said, no, it hasn't. And here's why. Because we will not precede those which are dead. In other words, the resurrection had not happened at that point in time, nor would it happen until the old covenantal system had been destroyed. Now, Jesus Christ said emphatically over and over and over again that he would return in the lifetime of his own contemporaries. My question to you, Ken Parsons, is this. Did Jesus return in the lifetime of his contemporaries, or did he lie?
That's where our arguments kind of just fall off the edge. I believe in a 96 year because everything I've ever looked at, except for maybe just a handful of sites with very little evidence, and anybody can get on the internet and really research this now, didn't always used to be that way. Man, it was tough back in the early days. Now it's a little bit easier. But that and the fact that Paul, again, it would have been so easy. And the other thing, we keep going back to that he said it was in this. I read it over and over again. That's why I keep saying, you know, read this. Look at it. It's the people that see these things that are happening, not, you know, just the people. He's just not stopping at the temple. There's a whole list of other things, and the people that see this, it's that generation.
Exactly.
One translation even said that I'm not just saying this for some future generation. I'm also saying it to you.
Well, here's the point. It was only going to happen once again The only people ever qualified to say the end was near based on Jesus' own words was his own air-breathing flesh and blood disciples.
In the Scripture.
Pure and simple. Every sign, read the book of Acts. Everything Jesus Christ predicted was going to happen, you will find in the book of Acts. If you want to go outside the Bible, read Josephus. He records everything that Jesus said was going to happen before his return and the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 happened exactly when and as he said it was going to. It's real simple. Most people don't read it because they have been told to believe a certain way.
Hey, let me ask you something just real quick.
Sure.
Acts 1:18.
Yes.
The incident with Judas, and also Matthew 27:5. Does that appear to be a contradiction? In one case, it says that he fell headlong and that his intestines spilled out on the ground. In another, it just says that he went and hung himself. One doesn't say anything about hanging. The other doesn't say anything about intestines spilling out. Is that a contradiction?
Absolutely not. You got the four Gospels that all give it from a different perspective, but they give the same story.
So when you put them together,
then
you get something
works.
Else.
Exactly. This is
why the truth is somewhere in the middle between all of them because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit and they fit together perfectly,
exactly.
Like two hands clasped.
And they can never contradict themselves on that. You and I would agree.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you agree on something, finally.
Yeah. Oh, we agree on a few things.
I tell you what we're going to do, too, even though we have a few more moments for the top of the hour, then we'll start with the phone calls. Those of you who have your computer and your fast blast capabilities, if you want to just simply say to me it was John or Ken, tell me who you think had the leg up on this debate, John Anderson or Ken Parsons, just their first name. I'll tally it up, and by the time we're off the air at the end of next hour, I'll just give you the numbers, as we've done on so many of our debates or roundtable discussions. Those of you can fast blast me right now if you want. Again, your website, Ken Parsons, please.
Warzone Winner, all one word, WARZONEWINNER.
How about you, John Anderson?
TheVoiceOfReasonLive.com. That's The Voice of Reason, all one word, TheVoiceOfReasonLive.com.
All right, do you want to give that toll-free number out again, John?
Yes, if you want to get your free copy by Don Preston, his website is eschatology.org. It's a free book, Can God Tell Time? The toll-free number to get it, 866-860-2086. That's 866-860-2086.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment with Ken Parsons, with John Anderson. With your questions, please don't pull out scriptures and start reading that. I don't want to bog the program down. We've got way too many callers for that. Let's just let our guests answer your questions as you deliver them, and then I'll review fast blasts. We'll be counting them up, tallying them up, and I'll let you know at the end of next hour who you feel as if the winner of this debate could be. Remember, we did the same thing with Stanton Friedman and Seth Shostak. Stanton won by a narrow margin. We'll do the same thing with Ken Parsons and John Anderson. But remember, nobody loses. Everybody wins on Coast to Coast AM.